Live Creative Now, Episode 80.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, hello. I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, or anything in between, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. And it's how you change the world. I'm actually giving a speech on that very topic in about a week and a half from now at Life is a Verb Camp in North Carolina. Super excited. It's a little 15-minute talk, kind of similar to a TEDx-style talk. And it's all about why feeding your creative hungers is how you change the world. Anyway, last week I shared an excerpt from my forthcoming book, The Creative Sandbox Way, Your Path to a Full Color Life, which comes out on November 15th. Woo! So excited. Today, I want to share a little bit more from the book. And before I do, I wanted to remind you that you can download a free sample of the book as a PDF over at creativesandboxway.com. The book is only going to be available in paperback. I'm not going to be offering it as a digital book because it is designed to be written in and drawn in and colored. It's really designed to be a paper book. So the PDF sample is just for you to get a taste of it. The book will not be available in a digital format. But the sample is actually the first 50 pages, and the book is 202 pages long, so that's a quarter of the book. Maybe I'm crazy, but... And also, there's no email required to download, so check it out at creativesandboxway.com. I just want as many people as possible to get their hands on this sample, and I hope you like it. I hope you like it enough to want to buy it when it comes out on November 15th. Anyway, here is more from The Creative Sandbox Way. This is a chapter called The Lie of, quote, I'm Not Creative, unquote. Before we dive into The Creative Sandbox, I want to address the epidemic lie of, quote, I'm not creative, unquote. I bought into this lie for years, and perhaps you have too. Although we are each born zestful, curious, and infinitely creative, most of us are trained early on to stop believing it. In school, we are taught not to exercise our creativity, but to please a single authority figure, the teacher. We learn that there are right and wrong ways to paint horses, play guitar, write an essay, and meanwhile, comparison and internal judgment start to kick in as early as age 6 or 7. I remember comparing my drawings against my peers in first grade. And by high school, I fully believed that other people were the artists, the musicians, the creatives, not me. The comparison trap had me in its grip. Maybe something similar happened to you. It might have even happened so early that you have no memory of ever being creative. But the comparison trap is not reality. It is a false belief, or what I call a self-installed glass ceiling, a negative belief that holds you back and is difficult to notice because it's so close to your own head. These glass ceilings are self-installed, not because they're your fault, but because you are the only one who can uninstall them simply by becoming aware of their existence. There are lots of self-installed glass ceilings that limit what we feel is possible when it comes to creativity. The false notion that all creatives are flaky or crazy or alcoholics or that they have to be poor and starving. These are just a few examples. I mean, after all, who wants to be a creative if it means that we also have to be flaky, crazy, alcoholic, and poor? Coming to the realization that these beliefs are just that, beliefs, not truth with a capital T, that is what allows you to shatter those glass ceilings and move past them. Then there are creativity scars. Researcher and best-selling author Brené Brown writes in her book, Daring Greatly, that of the thousands of diverse people she and her team interviewed for her research on shame, over 40% can remember being shamed around a creative act as a child. Perhaps with a statement like one of these, "Just mouth the words, honey. Nobody wants to hear you sing. Don't bother signing up for art class. That's for people with talent and you can't draw. You want to be a writer? Don't kid yourself, kid." Ouch and double ouch. No wonder we stop creating. That kind of shaming creates its own all-encompassing self-installed glass ceiling. I'm not creative. No wonder our lives get drained of color. Only when I finally started playing creatively again did I realize the truth. Nothing makes me feel more alive than doing one of my creative things. Since you're reading this book, I suspect the same may be true for you. So, with your peepers primed to be on the lookout for self-installed glass ceilings, let's start exploring the creative sandbox. Next chapter, the 10 guideposts. So what is this creative sandbox I've been referring to for several pages? In a nutshell, the creative sandbox is entering the mind space of a four-year-old. It's a space of freedom and experimentation. It's big, bold messes and not caring what anyone else thinks. It's the opposite of productivity, performance, and perfection. The creative sandbox is a zone of exploration and play where it's all about discovery, fun, flow, and let's see what happens if... where gremlins and self-installed glass ceilings are not allowed. The creative sandbox is where we all start out as children, but most of us are trained out of our ability to approach our creativity as if we're four. Instead, we're trained to aim for competence, mastery, perfection. The very idea of making a mess can make us feel incompetent, even unworthy. So we tend to avoid it at all costs. Even just a few years ago, this kind of creative sandbox mindset felt revolutionary to me. In fact, it felt impossible. As I mentioned, I gave up art and music in my teens. Thank you, self-installed glass ceilings. And when I finally came back to my creative self in my late 20s, not long after marrying my first husband, I opened myself to the possibility that perhaps I could do artsy things, though I very specifically did not call myself an artist. In fact, at first, I feared that all my creativity had been quashed out of me by years of academia. Of course, that wasn't the case. We never lose our creativity. The taps just get a little rusty from lack of use. It's the doing that cleans off the rust and opens the flow again. And after some hesitant initial steps, I did my best to make up for lost time, signing up for every art and writing class I could cram into my schedule. I focused every moment I could spare on creative exploration, and I became essentially a full-time student of all things creative. It felt like a glorious renaissance, like opening the door to Oz and seeing in full color for the first time since kindergarten. Before long, I fell madly in love with the art of calligraphy, and soon I started a little freelance business as a calligrapher and ketubah artist. Footnote, a ketubah is a Jewish marriage contract, traditionally an artistic document that's a part of every Jewish wedding ceremony, and you can see my ketubah art at ketubahworks.com. I was living the dream as a professional artist. Unfortunately, the dream was not so dreamy, especially after my marriage ended and I suddenly had to support myself in expensive Silicon Valley from a hobby business, which had until that time been earning only enough to pay for art supplies and classes. The pressure of having to make an actual living from my art meant that the only art I made was for clients. Art became just a job. I stopped creating for the joy of it. And once again, life became very gray. Sadly, it took me until my mid-40s to realize I could break this pattern. I'd convinced myself that the reason I was avoiding my art table was that I didn't have time. But the truth was, I was frozen by fear, paralyzed by perfectionism, mired in resistance. I needed to take the pressure off, let myself make messes, and stop thinking everything I created had to have a price tag attached. In short, I needed to play again. The problem was that I had forgotten how to play. I literally had to create guidelines for myself to help me let go of my perfectionist ways and let loose. I started out with 4 or 5 guidelines, and over the years, these evolved into the 10 guideposts of my creative sandbox way. 1, there is no wrong. 2, think process, not product. 3, think quantity, not quality. If you take care of the quantity will take care of itself. 4, think tiny and daily. Ridiculously achievable. Remember the most important practice is just getting back on the wagon. So it's a very good thing to make it a very short wagon. 5, if you are stuck, just start anywhere. 6, when in doubt, ask what if. 7, take the riskier path. 8, dismiss all gremlins. 9, spring the comparison trap. 10, most of all, treat yourself with compassion. Obviously, if you were reading the written version of the book, you won't get the melody there. Anyway, these precepts have helped me not just make more art, writing, and music, but have way more fun and live a more creative life than I ever dreamed possible. They took the fear out of creating and brought back the joy. And because I've shared them on my blog, on my podcast, and in various programs, they've helped thousands of others achieve the same too. And you can download a printable poster of my Creative Sandbox Way guideposts at creativesandboxway.com/extras. Now, if you're listening to the podcast before November 15th, that link may not be live yet. So have patience. Here's the view from the other side of the glass ceiling. Today, I create just about every day. And not only that, but I look forward to it rather than filling me with existential angst. Making my art fills me with delight, freedom, and possibility. And I no longer make excuses to avoid my art table. In other words, I have cracked the secret to overcoming creative blocks and becoming creatively prolific. That said, if you think prolific creativity is all rainbows and unicorns, let me assure you, I still feel all the feelings that led to my stuckness in the first place. The voices in my head still tell me my work sucks and ask who I think I am anyway to attempt to do this. Those feelings of inadequacy don't ever fully go away, I'm sorry to say. But the difference is that now I no longer let them tie my hands, or at least not forever. Granted, I still have plenty of moments when I realize some story in my head, a self-installed glass ceiling, has been keeping me from moving forward on one project or another, like writing this book. Little side note there. It took me 5 years to get this book done. But the thing about self-installed glass ceilings is that once you see them, you can start to shatter them, which is exactly what I set out to do each and every time I uncover another sneaky block. The upshot is, I am more prolific now than I ever dreamed I would be, and I couldn't be happier. Life is so much better on this side. And the best part is, the quote, secret formula that has made the difference for me is available to everyone. Whether your dream is to paint, sing, cook, write songs, write poetry, write a novel, knit, quilt, make jewelry, make designer sock puppets, or anything else, the 10 simple guideposts of my creative sandbox way are tools you can turn to over and over again whenever you're feeling stuck. It's a pretty good gamble that regardless of what kind of resistance you're facing, one or more of the guideposts will offer the key to snap you out of stuck and back into flow. So pull out your metaphorical backpack, fill it with snacks and other goodies, grab a pen, and get ready to set off on a journey as we walk through the 10 guideposts together. So right after that, there's a creative invitation, a 2-minute writing prompt. Keep your hand moving while you answer these questions. What does the idea of the creative sandbox mean to you? Does it make you excited? Scared? Resistant? Curious? Feel free to write and or draw if you prefer. And then there's a reflection. What will you tuck into your backpack to bring with you into the creative sandbox? What would you like to leave behind? Write it or draw it? Or both. And remember, the path of imperfection is the path of joy. That's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. As always, if you're getting value out of this podcast, the best way to thank me is to tell your friends. And if you haven't done so already, hop on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. And if you need step-by-step instructions, you can find them at livecreativenow.com/iTunes-review. livecreativenow.com/iTunes-review. And don't forget to head on over to creativesandboxway.com and download a sample chapter from, actually a sample 50 pages from the Creative Sandbox Way. Again, that's creativesandboxway.com. Until next time. Thanks again for joining me, and go get creating! Mwah!
Live creative now! Live creative now!
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.